Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Friday morning. Great to be with you every day, including this Friday. It is March 8th, 2024, here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Thank you for your listenership and for your support of this wonderful network, EWTN.com. Alrighty then, we have a great lineup for you today. Of course, always look forward to checking in with our president and chief operating officer of the network, Doug Keck. He gives us a wonderful inside word of what we can expect over the next week or so of programming. And then we always have great conversations about things happening in the world. And he gives us his two cents, which I greatly appreciate because of all of experience that he has in the media, both secular and Catholic media. And speaking of media, we have our Fact Check Friday today. So what I would like to discuss, have you ever noticed the inconsistencies in the media, especially when it comes to these big issues such as gender ideology? So today is International Women's Day in the middle of Women's Month, right, celebrating women. But why do we need an International Women's Day? Why are we even celebrating women when it doesn't matter? You could be a man, you could be a woman, you could identify as a man, a woman, or both at times. Why don't the media talk about that? And then secondly, do you notice how they love the Pope when they think the Pope is saying what they want to hear? But when he talks about gender ideology, which he did last week, and when he talks about abortion, crickets, absolute crickets. Why is that? Because they want a pope of the church of what's happening now, as Flip Wilson, the comedian, used to say. Now, we know that there are some very confusing and scratching your heads, among other things, type moments that have come out of the Vatican recently, especially with the so-called blessings document for same-sex relationships. But in general, the media ignore the bigger issues. And this ties into the discussion that will happen after Fact Check Friday. The one and the only Bill Donahue from the Catholic League back with us. He put out a terrific press release raising the point and awareness about the person that First Lady Jill Biden decided to bring to the State of the Union address. And this is a woman who left Texas to have an abortion. And the big story was supposedly she was going to die in Texas if she could not get an abortion. That is not the case. Okay. She chose to take the life of her child. She says she had her own reasons because of medical situations. But to claim that she was her life was being threatened, Lila Rose has been all over this story and doing a great job of updating it on Live Action. That's not the case, not being honest. And also, why is a president that identifies consistently as a devout Catholic, is described as a devout Catholic by his press secretary and others on his administration and others in Congress who support him, and yet he is all over abortion, all over IVF, in support of it, over and over and over again, openly told one of our own White House correspondents from EWTN News Nightly that he disagrees with the church on IVF. That is not a prudential matter. Life is a core teaching of the church. You can't pick and choose, despite what Joe Biden thinks and has thought and acted upon for many years now. So we'll take a look at this with the one, the only, of course, Bill Donahue, and giving us a perspective on how do we respond to people who think that it's okay to support these types of teachings that go directly against the core belief in the Catholic faith of being pro-life from womb to tomb. So that is our program for today on a busy Friday morning. And don't forget, Cabrini opens up today on this International Women's Day. And what a great example of women she is and she was. So many great saints as well. There's a cool story on Catholic News Agency about the Pope having a meeting yesterday talking about the role of women in the world and how we need to do more. But he mentioned something like 10 saints. I have a story on it in the newscast that's coming up in a minute. But to look at the church and all these incredible women that have made such a huge contribution in so many ways, such as St. Francis Xavier Cabrini. All right, weather-wise, what are we looking at? Rain, rain, and more rain in the south. Excessive rainfall bringing flooding to portions of the southeast, including parts of the Birmingham and Atlanta areas. And we have severe thunderstorms forecast from the lower Mississippi Valley into the southeast by tomorrow. Tornadoes, large hail, and damaging winds are possible. Heavy snow will continue into today over parts of the Central Rockies and Central Plains as well. That's a look at your weather, and that is your rundown for today, a Friday morning. Great to be with you on Catholic Connection and EWTN. Let's get started, shall we? It is 5 minutes past the hour on Friday, March 8th. Well, as the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors is holding an assembly in Rome, Devin Watkins tells us the Pope is taking the opportunity to invite its members to continue strengthening the Church's efforts to prevent abuse.
He called the Commission's work a courageous vocation that comes from the heart of the Church and helps her to be purified and to grow. The Pontifical Commission, he added, has expanded its efforts over the past 10 years in response to his call to make the Church an increasingly safe place for minors and vulnerable adults. Pope Francis admitted that those who work in the safeguarding field could grow discouraged as they witness the scandal of abuse and the suffering of victims. Yet, he said, our commitment must not wane as the Church seeks to restore the fabric of broken lives and heal victims' pain. Their work, he said, seeks to make the Church become always and everywhere a place where everyone can feel at home and each person is treated as sacred. The Pope urged members of the Protection Commission to draw inspiration from Christ's compassion and his example of coming into contact with the wounds of humanity. He added that closeness to victims is not an abstract concept, but a very concrete reality comprised of listening, intervening, preventing, and assisting.
And on the day before International Women's Day yesterday, the Holy Father also addressing those taking part in the International Conference Women in the Church, Builders of Humanity. The conference highlighting the witnesses of 10 women, as Catholic News Agency explains, noted for their holiness, including among them St. Josephine Bakita and Elizabeth Ann Seton. He said all these women at different times and in different cultures, each in her own distinct way, giving proof through initiatives of charity, education, and prayer of how the feminine genius can uniquely reflect God's holiness in the midst of our world. The Holy Father also telling participants it's important to make the saints better known, especially those women saints, in all the depth and reality of the humanity. In this way, education will be increasingly capable of touching each person in his or her wholeness and uniqueness. And at the end of the address, the Holy Father acknowledged the sufferings of injustices of women faced in many places in the world, calling for prayer and action, specifically when it comes to education. In his State of the Union address last night, Joe Biden reiterating his strong position on access to abortion and how it should be expanded by congressional legislation, as well as access to fertility treatment such as in vitro fertilization, which is also against Catholic teaching. This following a recent ruling by the Alabama Supreme Court that frozen embryos should be considered unborn children under the state's wrongful death law. Ryan Bomberger, meanwhile, a pro-life leader and co-founder of the Radiance Foundation, was a guest last night of Virginia Congressman Bob Goods. Bomberger is an outspoken advocate for life and even included in cases of rape. He said his own life is an example of someone who could have been aborted but whose life was spared through adoption. Before the address, he issued a statement saying Joe Biden and the Democratic Party take pride in the violent injustice of abortion and deny the blessings of liberty to our posterity. I am that 1% they use to justify 100% of abortions. And Catholic pro-life leaders who also strongly criticize Biden, who identifies himself as a devout Catholic for his staunch abortion stance, Live Action founders Lila Rose wrote that Biden was lying about Kate Cox, a woman who sued Texas over abortion. She was First Lady Jill Biden's guest at last night's speech. And Rose says Kate Cox's life was never at risk. She demanded a late-term abortion of her disabled baby girl, and she left Texas to ensure her daughter's death. The House has passed the Laken-Riley Act. As Lisa Taylor tells us, it requires ICE to detain illegal immigrants who've been arrested for theft and similar offenses.
The bill is named after the Georgia nursing student who was killed on the campus of the University of Georgia. An illegal immigrant from Venezuela, Jose Antonio Ibarra, has been arrested and charged in Riley's murder. He was previously arrested in New York, but wasn't detained by ICE after New York officials released him. Georgia Republican Congressman Mike Collins said Riley's murder is another wake-up call as Americans experience an illegal alien crime wave. Collins urged the Senate to take up the bill immediately.
A private investigator hired by the city of Uvalde in Texas to do a deep dive on the Robb Elementary School shooting, saying there were many failures by officers the day that 19 students and two teachers were killed. Jesse Prado says the biggest problem, communication.
Chief of Police Arredondo was on one side of the building, and many other officers were on the north side of the hallway, but there was no communication as to a game plan.
He cited a lack of training and a lack of equipment. If the SWAT team had a ballistic shield, he says it would have allowed officers to breach the classroom much faster. Prado did not identify any officers who violated the policy and recommended exoneration for the chief. Parents of the victims say they were so disgusted they decided to leave the meeting. The utility that provides power to the Texas Panhandle is investigating now whether their equipment may be the source of what has become the largest wildfire in state history. There have been several lawsuits filed over the Smokehouse Creek fire that point to a downed power line. In a statement, Xcel Energy is saying it appears its facilities were involved in the ignition of the fire. The number of children treated for exposure for fentanyl nationwide now up 449%. Researchers at Oregon Health and Science University analyzing information from all U.S. poison centers. In 2016, they say there were just 10 cases of exposure in children younger than 6. And by last year, they insist that number increased to 539. When exposed to fentanyl, they can lose consciousness, stop breathing, and suffer brain damage. 82% of the unintentional exposures, they say, happened in homes. Fed Reserve Chair Jerome Powell says he does expect interest rates to begin coming down. He just cannot say exactly when that will happen.
We believe that our policy rate is likely at its peak for this tightening cycle. If the economy evolves broadly as expected, it will likely be appropriate to begin dialing back policy restraint at some point this year.
In prepared remarks on Capitol Hill Wednesday, he said that the Fed does not expect it will be appropriate to reduce the target range until it has gained greater confidence that inflation is moving sustainably toward 2%. The central bank leader added that policymakers are keeping an eye on risks that inflation imposes. Phil Hewlett tells us there's a college in Southern California that will be the first to offer a degree in artificial intelligence.
MiraCosta College in Oceanside is granting associate's degrees to students who complete a curriculum steeped in how the evolving technology can change business, education, and society as a whole. The San Diego County Community College will teach students how to get the most out of existing AI platforms like ChatGPT and Midjourney. The educators behind the program say students who attain their degree will be qualified for jobs that pay anywhere from $1 to $200,000 a year.
And a bill that could ban TikTok now advancing out of committee on the national level. The House Energy and Commerce Committee unanimously voting to advance a bipartisan measure. It would require the popular social media app's China-based parent company to divest the app. There's a push for better health messaging for weight loss drugs in New York City. A city councilwoman there says the health department should make sure everyone knows the risk when it comes to using drugs such as Ozempic for weight loss. More than 1 million people are diabetic, and the councilwoman says those people should be in the front of the line when it comes to getting drugs such as Ozempic. And prosecutors are dropping all charges against three defendants accused of stealing and trying to resell a collection of lyrics by the Eagles worth more than $1 million. That decision came after Eagles co-founder and key witness Don Henley waived attorney-client privilege and submitted 6,000 pages of related correspondence with his attorneys just a few days ago. Prosecutors and the judge agreeing the defense was not provided the opportunity to explore that new evidence. And the former Rock and Roll Hall of Fame curator, three men, Greg Horowitz, Edward Kaczynski, and Craig Inchardi, are cleared of all charges now, including criminal possession and conspiracy. Meanwhile, Henley says he plans to take civil action. And finally, in our news report at about 13 minutes past the hour on a busy Friday morning, Liz Warner tells us an extremely rare gray whale sighted off of Massachusetts is shocking marine biologists.
The gray whale's a species that's thought to have been extinct in the Atlantic Ocean for over two centuries. But a New England Aquarium aerial survey team shot footage of a gray whale off Nantucket last week, and they captured it feeding, diving, and resurfacing. They are seen regularly in the Pacific. Scientists believe climate change may be the reason for the whale's reappearance here, as the Northwest Passage, which connects the Atlantic and Pacific through the Arctic Ocean in Canada, has been largely ice-free during the recent summer seasons.
It is a Friday morning, 14 minutes past the hour. Thanks for tuning in to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Coming up, Doug Keck, our President and Chief Operating Officer, with an inside look at what's the next programming you need to make a note of, or at least set your recorder. Listen to me, how old do I sound? Is it not VCR? What was that, like 30 years ago? Oh, I'm getting so old. Anyway, record whatever you have to do on your TV. I don't do that much. I just like to watch EW10 and keep it on all the time. It's just something I prefer to do. But there's a great way to make a note. And if you miss anything, everything is online, EWTN.com. And then we're going to be talking about the media and the failure to connect the dots on so many issues, especially when it comes to issues such as gender ideology on this International Women's Day. And then wrapping up with the one, the only, Bill Donahue. We're hoping he comes out of his shell today. That's a little insider joke. Catholic League president. We'll be right back on a Friday. Thanks for listening to EWTN.
EWTN Heavenly Hints.
Consider the assortment of images saved in your phone. Almost miraculously, you can access anything from pictures of Take Your Pet to Work Day to your favorite taco soup recipe. In the midst of these, have you included the true miracle? The Most High? The one who saved you? The one who is, was, and always will be? He deserves a place on your phone screen and not just in the clouds.
A Heavenly Hint from EWTN.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Ave Maria Radio invites you to feast on the joy of fasting this Lenten season and all year long. Fast from thoughts that weaken. Feast on promises that inspire. Fast from problems. Feast on blessings. Fast from thoughts of illness. Feast on the healing power of God. Fasting is a part of true Christian life. It liberates us from this world as we grow closer to Christ.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Minutes past the hour. It's a Friday. Always great to catch up with Doug Check. Doug Check. See, I can't even talk today. First I said VCR. Now I said Doug Check. Doug Keck. Sorry
Doug
about
Keck
that.
Doug checking in. I'm checking in here on Friday. That's what it is.
Don't forget to turn on your VCR, please. When you go.
That's right. I got distracted. The thing was flashing. I wasn't sure what it meant.
Oh, revealing my age. Hey, it's good to talk to you. Our President and Chief Operating Officer, Doug Keck, with the inside word on a Friday morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Doing well. Happy to see that our Catholic president seems to think abortion through 9 months is the least we should be offering people.
Yeah, abortion, IVF, and even more abortion. Push more abortion.
Right. Absolutely. So for anybody who had any question about that position, if that's an important position to you, even if you're a quote unquote, I'm pro-life, but you know, I'm pro-choice because I can't stop other people, and I'm, you know, and I want some exceptions, quote unquote. We're not talking about some exceptions here. We're talking about basically having abortions up to the moment that the baby's coming out of the womb. So,
yeah, and having people pay for it with their tax dollars.
And I really think people need, and good Catholics especially, listening to this show and other good Catholics who are wonderful people who've, you know, voted for a particular party over the years or have particular issues that they're very supportive of in that organization or for that group in the past, need to really realize that when you're voting now in your local state election about things related to abortion, you're directly impacting whether access to abortion is there or not.
Right.
And you know, and so the idea that, well, I can't control anything and it's the law of the land, that's not true anymore. We could hide behind that. Now, when you vote and you vote and you're in Michigan, as they did, people did, or in other states, you know, you are casting a vote for people to get abortions or people not to be able to kill their children.
Yeah.
So you need to take that into account because I think the Lord will.
Absolutely. And I think in terms of abortion, there are no exceptions, right? I mean, and this is the Catholic Church.
Absolutely.
We are pro-life from womb to tomb.
It's like IVF. I mean, we understand why that's wrong. The difficulty is, obviously, if you can't convince people that killing a baby who looks like a baby is wrong, then how can you convince people about IVF? Because, you know, you're dealing with petri dishes and embryos and things like that. So it's, you know, it's just one of these things where, yes, we know something to be totally true, but it's also understandable to understand that it's difficult to convince people who believe that killing a baby, you know, at 8 or 9 months because of whatever reason they make up, like that phony story, as you reported, the woman out of Texas, you know, Lila Rose was talking about in your news coverage.
Right.
I mean, these are just, you know, this is Roe v. Wade again. This is Jane Roe again, the made up story that was used to, you know, to prove a point. And you get all of these, you know, these anecdotal stories, you know, to justify these things,
and we hear them all the time. They prey on the emotion of the people, and they're very good at it. They bring all these women forward. Right. I did a search on this before I came on with you this morning, because I'm going to be talking about this with Bill Donahue.
In
two segments, and also in my Fact Check Friday segment.
I think he's loading. I think the shells he has are the ones he's putting in his pro-life rifle. I think is what.
Yeah, we're hoping he's not so shy today that he comes out
of
his shell. That's what I'm praying for.
Right.
It's just so over the top in terms of what we're seeing. And there was a commercial that came out. I don't know if you remember this I think it was the last presidential election. Maybe it was the last time, the second time Obama was reelected. There was a commercial, and it was by one of the pro-life groups. I don't know if it was Michigan Right to Life or another group, but they actually did like BBs in a jar. And this is how many people died in this war. This is how many people died in this war. This is how many people have died through abortion since Roe v. Wade. And then the sound, the natural sound of the beads falling went on for like 30, 40 seconds. So there is nothing that is more deadly than abortion, even in all the wars combined.
And on top of it, you're talking about totally the killing of the innocent.
Right,
on top of all of that, you're talking about the killing of the innocent. And our Lord was big on children, as I recall. So,
yeah.
You know. So anybody who keeps the little children or impacts negatively the little children is held to really high account. So it's something we really need to pray about, especially, I think, as Catholics.
Well, and the great news is, and this is why you're on with us every week, is that we have so many programs that help you understand the teachings of the church, right?
That's the idea. Yeah, today, 24 hours for the Lord, coming from Rome with Pope Francis. So people check that out. We've got tomorrow, Candles in the Dark, which is a musical masterpiece of the Messiah, and by Father Richard Ho Lung. You know, he does some very, very interesting musical pieces. That's tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. We've got the closing Mass of the 24 Hours of Our Lord as well, airing later on Saturday afternoon at 4:30. We've got two new Faith of Our Fathers programs. You know, that wonderful program that Campbell Miller did for us in Ireland. About Faith of Our Fathers. Well, we've got two. One is kind of a story behind the story, where we take the movie itself and we do a documentary around it to show you, you know, the actual facts directly, you know, about and supporting the dramatization. We also have behind the scenes series of interviews with the actors and those people called behind the scenes, of course. And you can see it actually being filming and get some insights from the actors themselves. And then, you know, I know today's Mother Cabrini Day, and there's a lot going on for that big movie that's coming out. Well, EW10 did its own little movie, much smaller. A couple of years ago on Mother Cabrini that we're very, very proud of. And we said, you know, we should air this as well as part of the tribute to Mother Cabrini.
Absolutely.
And that's going to be airing on Sunday, March 10th at 10 p.m.
Eastern Time. I can't wait to watch that. Okay, I'll set my VCR.
Yeah, check your... Maybe that's why you haven't found it yet, but...
oh, my gosh. Lord, help me. Okay, wait, 10 p.m. Right. Sunday night, right?
10 p.m. Sunday night Eastern Time. I know you're on Central, so.
No, I'm on Eastern. Michigan's on Eastern Time.
Oh, Michigan. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I got to talk to. I have a phone call with Al. I got to make sure I'm on the right time with him there on Monday.
You and I are both all screwed up.
This is a bad day here. And the prophet. That's right. You are on Eastern Time. Prophet of Lake Como, Father Romano Guardini. a very important person, a very important theologian, I know in the life of Scott Hahn especially. That's on Tuesday, a very good program. And Armed with the Faith, John Foppy's story. People remember him, Born Without Arms. Got a wonderful, wonderful motivational story. Yep. That's coming up Wednesday the 13th at 5:30 p.m. And as you were indicating earlier, you know, all these programs are the vast majority available on our on-demand platform or on our YouTube channel. And so many of our other programs, especially our audio programs, radio and otherwise, are on our EWTN Podcast Central, which I think we have almost 100 podcasts available on Podcast Central at this point, between the ones that are featured directly on EWTN and the other ones that we kind of look at as the best of the rest or best of our friends. And so check that out.
Can I get that in cassette or 8-track?
Reel-to-reel is the only reel-to-reel
hey,
is only available.
Don't laugh, my friend. I used to edit reel-to-reel tape when I first started 43 years
Who
ago
didn't?
In the business. Yeah, exactly.
I still have
all
my reel-to-reel.
Yep. Great to talk with you. Thanks for all the wonderful programming. I am going to watch the Cabrini movie on Sunday night. That sounds awesome. 10 p.m. Eastern on EWTN. All the information, EWTN.com. We'll be right back.
Why would Jesus choose to be present under the humble circumstances of bread and wine? It is highly fitting, says the Catechism of the Catholic Church, that Christ should have wanted to remain with his church in this unique way. In his Eucharistic presence, Jesus is always within his church in a sacramental and mysterious manner. Saint Cyril counseled, "Do not doubt whether this is true, but rather receive the words of the Savior in faith, for he is the truth. He cannot lie." St. John Paul II wrote, "The church and the world have a great need of Eucharistic worship. Jesus awaits us in this sacrament of love. The Pope urged we, the faithful, not to refuse the Lord the time to meet with him, adoring him in contemplation, open to making amends for the serious crimes and offenses of the world." This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
Here's the new challenge. At least 1 hour a week in front of the Blessed Sacrament, with the goal of an hour a day in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I had a guy come up to me, and he says, "Father, you know, I'm doing a lot of things. I'm in a men's fellowship. I pray with my wife every day. I go to Mass every Sunday, and usually a couple times during the week. I read Scripture." He goes, "I want more." I said, "Do you pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament?" He said, "Outside of Mass, no." I said, "I think that's the more." See, all these saints, these are the ones who surround us. These are the ones who ran before us. These are the ones who fought well, who kept the faith. They would tell you, as would every single saint in heaven right now, you cannot run this race if you don't spend time with the Master. Whatever else we're doing, it's second, third, and fourth. First things need to be first. The first thing is to be with the Master, and the Master is Jesus.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Great to be with you on a Friday morning. It is Friday, March 8th, 2024, and today is a day known as International Women's Day. Now, there's a long history to International Women's Day, and unfortunately has a lot of socialistic and communistic connections. I don't go into that right now, but that background. But what I wanted to raise awareness about is the fact that, don't you think it's kind of odd that the media are all over this transgender ideology, but they still say that we need an International Women's Day? Why? I mean, if it doesn't matter if you're male or female, if you can identify, if you can one day identify as a woman, one day identify as a man, and you'll go through these terribly mutilating surgeries to become the opposite sex, then why do we need an International Women's Day? That makes no sense. But the media in these days, and this is, of course, why we talk about these things at Fact Check Friday, they're not about connecting the dots. They're about jumping from one emotional, very leftist story, pushing a particular ideology, to the next story, pushing the same. Now, I don't know if you know this, but last week there was a big conference on gender ideology that took place at the Vatican. And there was a little bit of media coverage on it, but it nearly did not get the same amount of coverage that, for example, the blessings document received back in December. The media were all over that and misinterpreting it. Not that it is really clear. There's a lot of confusion still, we know, about that document, and a lot of questions that need to be addressed. And we've discussed that as well here on this program. But they were all over that, and they were all over Father Martin, who seemed to have it all organized because he had a photographer, the New York Times, and everybody all set to give a couple a so-called same-sex blessing, which actually is not what the document says, but that's a whole other discussion for another time. But my point is that the media were all over that, just covering that like crazy. There were a few stories here and there last week about the conference at the Vatican, but again, not nearly the coverage that they gave the so-called blessings document when it came out in December. So what did the Pope say about gender ideology? Pope Francis says gender ideology is the ugliest danger of our time. The ugliest danger of our time. Addressing those taking part in the International Symposium, listen to this title, Man, Woman, Image of God. Pope Francis describes so-called gender ideology as the ugliest danger because it cancels out all differences that make humanity unique. An ugly ideology. He said, to cancel this difference is to erase humanity. Man and woman instead exist in a fruitful tension. This male-female complementarity we hear about so much in Theology of the Body and Mulieris Dignitatum and the Papal Letter to Women, beautiful documents by Pope St. John Paul II. The remarks came as he opened his address to those taking part in the International Symposium, Man, Woman, Image of God, Toward an Anthropology of Vocations. Now listen to those last words, anthropology of vocations. What does that mean? That means who we are, that the body is very important to our vocation. So in addition to attacking the Imago Dei, the image of God, when we accept this distorted teaching, this gender ideology, not only are we affecting ourselves physically, but we're also attacking the very vocation or mission that God has given each of us, male and female, made in his image. So do you get that? This is not just about, well, I feel like this or I feel like that. Not saying that gender dysphoria isn't real and that we need to really help those people and accompany them, but accompany them toward the truth. But when you attack who you are physically, you're also attacking what God has assigned to you, the mission in life, his will for you, that is the only thing that is going to make you completely happy by surrendering to Christ and becoming who he intends us to be. Introducing his address, the Pope said that this theme is aimed, first of all, at highlighting the anthropological dimension of every vocation. The human person is a vocation. Indeed, he remarked, the life of the human being is a vocation which has a relational character. I exist and live in relation to those who generated me, to who generated me, to the reality that transcends me, to others and to the world around me, in which I am called to embrace a specific and personal mission with joy and responsibility. Each one of us discovers and expresses oneself as called, as a person who realizes oneself in listening and response, sharing our being and gifts with others for the common good. This fundamental anthropological truth is sometimes overlooked in today's cultural context, where human beings, the Pope said, tend to be reduced to their mere material and primary needs. Pope Francis added, they are more than this, created by God in his own image, man and women, and carry within themselves a desire for eternity and happiness that God himself has planted in their hearts and that they are called to fulfill through a specific vocation. Our being in the world is not a mere fruit of chance, but we are part of a design of love and are invited to go out of ourselves and realize it for ourselves and for others. We are called to happiness, to the fullness of life, to something great to which God has destined us. Now, I don't have time to play one of the trailers. We were going to play it this morning. Andrew had it ready, but I don't have time to play it this morning. But it was a very significant trailer for the movie Cabrini, which opens today, as you know. We had Alejandro Monteverdiana. Don't forget, we have a film, as Doug said, I'm so glad he mentioned this, our own film on Cabrini, which will air 10 p.m. Sunday night. That's Eastern time. But there is a quote at the end of one of the trailers. It's at the end of the movie, so I'm not giving a, you don't have to give a spoiler alert, because if you've seen this trailer, you've heard the line. But it's very significant in terms of what the movie represents, the feminine genius, and Mother Cabrini understanding that God designed her for a specific purpose. So at the end of the film, she is taking on the mayor of New York. And John Lithgow plays the mayor of New York, and it's beautifully portrayed by him. And also the actress, Christina Dellano, was wonderful. And they're having this conversation, and she puts him on the spot and challenges him. And he realizes that this is not her first rodeo, and she's dealt with a lot of big wigs in the church and outside the church, and that he better work with her or there's going to be trouble. And so at the end of this conversation, he offers her a drink, and she says, yes, thank you, I'll have a drink. And he says, you know, Mother, it's a shame you're a woman. You would have made a great man. And she turns and she looks and she says, oh no, men could never do what we do. Now, as I said in the talk I gave on Tuesday night at a parish mission in Florida, that was not a slap against men. That was not some radical feminist attacking manhood. That was a statement about the fact that as women and men, we are designed differently. We are different but equal. And as the Pope said in this symposium last week, who we are, male and female, made in the image and likeness of God, is directly tied to our vocation and to who we were meant to be. As Catherine of Siena said, when we are whom we are called to be, we will set the world ablaze. So as we wrap up this edition of Fact Check Friday, if we think about the way the media cover these stories, there's so much inconsistency. Where are the discussions about why we even need an International Women's Day in the first place, if they really have embraced, which they have, this gender ideology? And why isn't there more coverage, if they love this Pope so much, on his condemnation of gender ideology? Just some questions to think about on a Fact Check Friday. We'll be right back.
And now, the EWTN Family Prayer with Father Joseph.
Family, a prayer that we pray together is a powerful prayer. So please pray together with me, our EWTN Family Prayer. Today we pray for those who have diabetes. Almighty God, we worship you, our Father. And we pray this day for those who suffer with diabetes. Look upon your children with this illness and grant them relief. Give them patience and the grace of perseverance in taking care of their health. Show them the way to physical and spiritual well-being. Let their cry come to your ears and bring them healing in mind and body and soul. We ask this in the holy name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
If I disciplined consistently, I'd be disciplining constantly. If I were consistent in my discipline, that would mean I would discipline more, and I'd be disciplining him often. The exact opposite is the case. More consistent discipline leads to less constant discipline. Why? Because you're predictable. The child knows if he does A, you'll do B. That is why, when you are predictable in your authority, you will actually have to use that authority less. Consistent discipline leads to less constant discipline. The more you act when you need to act, the less you will have to act in the future with similar misbehavior.
Past the hour on a Friday morning edition of Catholic Connection, coast to coast and around the globe on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. All the information, EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. Bill Donahue of the Catholic League, always an honor to have you on to discuss the things that matter most, as we say here. And boy, so just, it wasn't shocking. It wasn't, well, it's disappointing because he claims to be a devout Catholic. But you, I was looking at some of the news coverage and all the people that they paraded out there last night during the State of the Union address in support of IVF, in support of abortion, and in attacking the core teachings of the church, of which Mr. Biden says he is a devout member. Your thoughts?
It is striking. I mean, his big claim to fame, of course, to bring out Kate Cox. She's the woman who went out of state to get her abortion. Now, a couple of things about how he handled it. He said about her that she became pregnant again and had a fetus with a fatal condition. Well, yeah, the baby was going to be born.
The baby, right.
Yeah, but he can't use the word baby. He's not allowed to use that. And then he went on to say that her doctor said that her life was at risk. As a matter of fact, and I have it in front of me, the Texas Supreme Court noted that her own doctor, Tamla Carson, said that she did not have a life-threatening physical condition. So he lied about that as well. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen anybody who has such a lust for abortion in my life than Mr. Devout Catholic Biden.
What is it? What is the obsession?
Well, you know, there is obviously the idea of the young woman's vote. I mean, that certainly has a part of it. He's been losing in the polls, even lately, not doing as well as he should be with women, and certainly with young people as well. And I guess it's appealing really to the narcissistic element in our society. It's certainly the narcissism of men, too. I don't want to leave them out. The men like abortion because they don't want, they just take out their credit card and say, listen, honey, this is not part of the deal. Get rid of it on your lunch hour. That's why, and I've studied this thing for decades, single men are the strongest proponents of a woman's right to choose, okay? Yeah, because there's something in it for him, too. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the young woman, it's the young man, too. And so there's that kind of a sick appeal. It's just like an underlying statement there that's not spoken in with any kind of directness.
Well, the thing that's extremely frustrating, but that the left does extremely well, they even had a representative of Planned Parenthood that was there last night. They had a woman impacted supposedly by IVF and another, the woman you mentioned, Kate Cox, and all of these women, parading all these women and these people forward. They did the same thing in all these different states, especially here in my home state of Michigan, Bill, and you know this, when they were putting forth Proposition 3 and the other amendments in the other states for all things all the time with abortion and everything else. And they play on the emotion of the people. And unfortunately, a lot of Catholics and other people who think that they're pro-life or say they're pro-life buy into this and believe it without doing their homework or connecting the dots.
Yeah, but how far can you play it? I mean, where are the horror stories? I mean, anybody who wants to have an abortion any place can get it just about any place. I don't know how long they can play this. And if you take a look at the most important issues, it's always the border and
right.
Economic issues are at the top. Way at the bottom is abortion and mm-hmm. climate control and the things that seem to exercise the left. So I don't know how they're going to play that. And if he begins the conversation last night with somebody else's border that we need to protect, but not our own, namely Ukraine's border, but he gets 37 minutes into the speech before he addresses our own border, I don't think that's going to be lost on people.
Well, the polls are showing it's not being lost on people because that's what's coming up in terms of what they're mostly concerned about, right?
But I want to know, I mentioned this thing off the air, but I have to, in all seriousness, I have to raise this question. I saw a clip of him on Tuesday. He was in a stupor, vacant eyes, confused, expressionless. That's after he said, I don't think I can answer any questions because I might get into trouble like a child. He was lost, and yet he was jacked up into the sky last night like a maniac. What did they do to him? And I don't know, but this is not the same. Within 48 hours, you don't flip like that. I'm not buying it at all.
Mm-hmm. And yet the media are claiming and the left are claiming he's back. He did great. He had the stamina to do an entire, you know, State of the Union address. But these are concerns and these are questions that we as American people should be able to have answered because he's our commander in chief.
Well, anybody who follows him with any degree of regularity knows that he won't speak to the press. And when he does, he's like he was more typically on Tuesday. And he has to be like a child and say, well, I'm not allowed to talk to you because I might get into trouble. The President of the United States, that's what a preschool kid says. I'm sorry. But, you know, listen, he did what he had to do last night, and he escaped without looking the way he did on Tuesday. But I think he's, I think his mental and physical health is a threat to himself and to the nation. And that, to me, you know, I don't want to have people to go into the voting booth and make a decision based on that alone. I mean, my God, the policies alone are things that people should be talking about. But I don't care whether people like a candidate or they don't like a candidate. If you have somebody who's basically disabled, that has to register very strongly in terms of how you vote.
Well, also, I think, too, and it's very sad that he's being used this way. I mean, just from a pro-life perspective, you know, in terms of the elderly, there's some serious issues there that need to be addressed that nobody's addressing.
That's right, and because they know it's like a third rail. And now all the polls, just take a look what happened on Monday. You had AP at the New York Times and other sources coming out, Wall Street Journal, all saying that, you know, between 60 and 75% of the American people think that he just can't function anymore. I mean, and these are coming from left sources. So the word is out there. I don't see how you dismiss that very quickly. But more importantly, in terms of day in and day out, we are impacted by decisions that are made. And getting back to the question of abortion, you just have to wonder, how far are they going to ride this horse? I mean, what exactly do they want? You can... It's almost like as if you can't satisfy their cravenness for
right.
more and more abortions. I've
I
never
know.
Seen anything like it.
Me neither. That's the thing. I mean, even more than Obama, even more than Clinton. I mean, it's just over the top, and it's just so out there in terms of the extremity. But still, people don't want to hear it. A lot of people say, oh no, that's not really what's happening. And I think for Catholics out there, for all of us, anyone, whether they're Catholic or not, I think we have to look at, okay, what is really being offered here? What are they really supporting? As opposed to just in too many people, Bill, and I saw this with Prop 3 in Michigan, even Catholics, our own listeners, writing us and saying, well, I didn't want to have women dying in the streets because I voted against this proposal because they believed what the Planned Parenthoods and the, you know, NARALs were telling us. And so that's my passion. How do we get through to the people who don't want to do the additional homework and react to fear? Because media sells. This is Madison Avenue here, basically. You know this.
Well, look how far we've come. I mean, Hillary didn't mean it, but at least she said it, and so did Bill. And that is, we want abortion to be safe, legal, and rare. Those words are never spoken by Biden. They never talk about that. They talk about they just can't get enough of it. And, you know, the real extreme is on the other end. When you have third trimester abortions and what they do to the baby, that's the real horror story, not some talk about IVF. But the media obviously are totally on the side. We've known this since the work of Stanley Rothman, who passed away, was a friend of mine, and others. So it's just a scam on the American people.
We're talking with, of course, Bill Donahue from the Catholic League about a number of issues, including the discussion last night in the State of the Union address by Joe Biden and abortion and other issues. I wanted to mention today being International Women's Day about the importance of understanding, and the Pope gave a great conference last week about how gender ideology attacks our vocation, who we are, made in the image and likeness of God, that we really in the Catholic Church have such an opportunity to put forward so many amazing women who've made such a difference, especially some of our great saints, including one that of course, was based in New York for a long time, Frances Cabrini.
That's exactly right. I understand the movie is really quite something.
It's fabulous. I've seen it twice.
I saw Raymond Arroyo last night interviewing the Wolfington, the guy
Eustace,
who put it together.
Yep.
It's quite good. We promote it here at the Catholic League. We need more movies like that. And we don't need any more Rob Reiner's movies, which I'm going to address today. God and Country, all about Christian nationalism, scaring people to death, that the Christians are taking over a theocracy. Guess how much money it made the first weekend out?
What?
$38 million. I mean, this is pitiful.
Wow.
The guy's going absolutely nowhere.
Well, good. And I hope this movie, Cabrini, I've been telling people to check it out and to pack the theaters, CabriniFilms.com. It's what I love about it, Bill, is it's so beautiful in terms of the way she's so determined and she understands who she is, made in the image and likeness of God. And there's so many different lessons in the film. And so I can't wait to see what you think of it, because the feminine genius is throughout this movie.
Well, that's great. Listen, you shouldn't sell yourself short on this, too. I mean, the work that you're doing, the people living. By the way, I made a mistake here. I said they made the first weekend out $38 million. It was 38,000.
I was going to say $38 million. I thought that was a little bit high.
$38,415, and over 2 weeks, it's made $60,000. It's an absolute utter bomb.
That is like
Nobody
the worst numbers I've ever heard in terms of a movie opening up nationwide.
It's horrible. Wow. But, you know, listen, we got a lot of good Catholic women like yourself, Teresa, and I'm not just saying that because I'm on your show. You're one of the best in the business, and you're not afraid to pull any punches. And that's good, because too many people on our side, while they have the right motivation, that's not enough. You've got to also have the guts to come out there and confront the issues, and not just the soft issues as some people do.
Well, here's the thing, and I gave a talk Tuesday night on the feminine genius. My husband and I were doing a parish mission down in Florida, and people were asking me about that. I said, look, the church saved my life. It saved my marriage, and it saved my life. I'm not out there saying things I don't understand and haven't experienced. The teachings of the church work because they are directly tied to the truth of who we are, made in the image and likeness of God. You go against the teaching, you wreak havoc. You follow the teaching, it's not that you're not going to have suffering or issues because you live in a fallen world, but what the church teaches is true. And you know this with your background in sociology and your PhD and the great work you do at the Catholic League. You can just look at the world and look at the areas, for example, let's just look at STIs, right? Sexually transmitted infections. What does the church say about sexuality? It's reserved for a specific place within the marriage, right? And then you look at the world, and the CDC at every year comes out with statistics saying we have an epidemic of STIs, STDs, but they want more birth control and more abortion. How's that working for us?
I know. But let me just punctuate what you said, because I've written a couple of books on this subject, on common sense Catholicism, why Catholicism matters. Yes. The teachings of the Catholic Church, they mesh very well with human nature and the human condition, the limitations of the human condition. People say, well, you guys are not perfect. That's right. We believe in original sin, okay? Remember this, people. Every single priest, I'm talking about the 60s and 70s and 80s, that's largely behind us. Every one of those priests who did the wrong thing with minors, they violated the teachings of the Catholic Church. They weren't compliant with them. They had to violate them in order to do what they did. Now, you take a look at Marxism. You apply Marxism, you wind up with genocide. Okay? So, I don't want anybody on the left telling me, well, we've got some problems. We believe in original sin. We know there are flawed priests and lay people and nuns and everybody else. So what? The question is, if they follow the teachings of the Catholic Church as opposed to their id, the pleasure principle, we wouldn't have had this problem in the first place. You guys on the left, you're stuck with Marxism, and that leads to bloodshed throughout history, about 150 million people dead in the 20th century because of your wonderful secular idea.
Yep. And one of the reasons I love this movie so much is that she pushed against authority, and she stood up, and she made it known that we were all children of God. It's such a good film, and it speaks to so much of what we talk about, not only with your work at the Catholic League, but with what we do at EW10. I can't wait to see what you say about the movie. When are you going to this weekend to see it?
I can't do it this weekend, but I'll find a way.
All right, well, as soon as you watch it, you come back on Catholic Connection.
All right.
All right, my friend. Bill, great to speak with you. So what's the next statement or project you're working on for the next couple of weeks?
Well, dealing with Rob Reiner today in the Oscars and what I call religiophobia. The only religion movie that's up for an Oscar for Best Picture is Poor Things, which I haven't seen, but I'm reading about it. And, of course, it celebrates atheism. So that's where Hollywood's head is at.
Yeah, exactly. Bill Donahue, check out his great work at thecatholicleague.org, his books as well, catholicleague.org. He joins us as often as I can have him on because he's so insightful and feisty. I just love it. We'll be right back on Catholic Connection to wrap up and to remind you to go see Cabrini and also watch our Cabrini film on Sunday night as well. We'll be right back.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
You know, we talk story with each of our very unique guests for the whole hour so that you can go deep with us as you yourself pursue your own story of heroic virtue and as you pursue intimacy with God.
The Bear Wozniak Adventure, Saturday night, 6 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them Check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't forget, EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. They both co-produce this program. And as Doug Keck mentioned, check out all the great programming that we have, and all the information can be found at the EWTN homepage, EWTN.com. Also, and I'm so excited about this because it'll be great to see this film after seeing the Cabrini film as well. We've got our own Cabrini film coming up at 10 p.m. Eastern on EWTN TV. That's Sunday evening. Again, coming up Sunday night at 10 p.m., a movie that EWTN is behind and produced about St. Francis Xavier Cabrini. What a story. The more I think about it, the more I'm just amazed. And we discussed this yesterday. I did a roundtable discussion that's now posted on the NationalReview.com YouTube page with Catherine Jean Lopez from National Review, Dr. Pia Di Saleni, a wonderful moral theologian, and also the beautiful sister Josephine Garrett, talking about the feminine genius, talking about the movie, our thoughts and insights. And also, I had a lot to say about being an Italian-American and what it meant to me to see so many Italians and those scenes of the boat going across the Atlantic and hearing stories of my grandparents on both sides of the family and what they risked to come here to the country through Ellis Isle legally. Check it out. And we will see you, God willing, on a Monday morning on the radio. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.